Hey, it is Odyssey Sports, the Bet Las Vegas, and the Sporting Tribune, and it is a big week. We are kicking it off the week of the W as the Aces try to go back-to-back. All this week, we are going throughout the league, talking to everyone you guys need to know and to listen to get prepared for the season. So we are starting it off with the founder of Highlight Her, a WNBA and women's sports in general, the storytelling, everything about women's sports. If it's an event, she's going to be there. She is everywhere and anywhere on the Forbes 30 Under 30. Off top season two coming with the WNBA. Without further ado, Ari Chambers is in the building. Ari, how are you?
What an intro. I'm awake now.
Yeah, I told you. I was like, I couldn't mention everything, but there's a lot you got going on. And as we start, and before we get into the WNBA season, the Liberty, teams that you think people are sleeping on. Of course, our Aces here in Las Vegas trying to go back to back. I want to know about you, because first and foremost, like, I appreciate you even reaching out to me, who was an unknown, who decided to cover the Aces last year and stepped into a world I really knew nothing about. And your kindness, and you reached out and you helped me out. And when I was asking those questions to Asia Wilson, you were like, hold up, let me make sure they give you credit on that. And my DMs were popping all summer, thanks to you. So I appreciate you. But you're one of the biggest voices in the league. And I admire a lot about you. But I just want to know, like, where does your journey start when it comes to media and sports media?
Yeah, so my journey started when I was 7 years old, being able to witness Kay Yao and the NC State women's basketball team and how they were so nice to me. And then fast forward in high school, I actually quit cheerleading. I had been cheerleading my whole life from like four until then. I quit it to be the girls' basketball manager. So I've always had a strong intention of working with girls and women's sports, women's basketball in particular. So when I got to college, I cheered again and went pro. But when I went pro cheerleading or pro in-game entertainment, I noticed the discrepancy between the Knicks and the Liberty coverage. And because I had grown up around basketball and established those relationships over the years, these are my friends, right? From like 14 years old on, I was able to talk to them on a personal level and didn't necessarily have to be in-game because, you know, the PR didn't know me back then. They had no idea who I was. So I was able to call my friends who played in the league and share their stories. And that's literally how it came about. Everything with innovation and change making and just being influential comes from finding a blank space and occupying it. And I think that I was lucky enough and the cards fell in my favor enough to do that and to be able to scale it the way it has.
No, and it's been truly remarkable. And I just told you some of the things I admire about you. The kindness is for one. Another that comes out to mind too, is your hustle and your work ethic. I specifically remember I DM'd you and I'm like, hey, if they're going to post this, if you can make sure that they tag me because I'm trying to build something here. But then I look on your profile and I'm like, oh, Jesus, I should have checked. You were in India. I was like, she's in India doing work. She's over here. I literally said in the intro, everywhere and anywhere. But you're always working and you got to hustle. Like radio, any form of entertainment, anything you're trying to do, you have to hustle. You have to have so many tools in your toolkit to be able to come to people and say, hey, I can do this, this, and this. Because if you can only talk on this microphone and think you're just going to talk on this microphone and walk out the building and not post anything and blah, 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 you're not going to get anywhere.
I think it's a little bit of like delirium too, right? It's like a blind faith in yourself that even if you haven't done it, even if you haven't proven yourself in this space, know that you can do it and know that you're driven by your passion. And that's why I love how you introed it. And you were saying how, you know, you've completed your first full season of covering the Aces. It was placed on your heart to do. So you were able to do it. And I'm glad you came across people that helped you stay in this space, because this, the sports in general, sports entertainment, anything of that nature that's a hot commodity is going to be difficult to navigate if you don't have people that allow you to be in that space or people that push you forward in that space. So I was fortunate enough that in the beginning of my career, I was introduced to all these doors that were just opening. I did beat them down, but I was introduced to these spaces so that I could beat down the door because of people who were generous with their time and generous with their energy and generous with their knowledge. So that's, I'm fortunate that I'm able to be in these places so I can spread my knowledge and compassion and empathy for those that are new and up and coming.
Well, since I love to talk about myself, just so everybody knows, because I don't think I've said this on air. I've been in radio and I've wanted to be in radio all my life, and it's because of sports. But I got into the radio business through hip hop and music stations. And I filled in once as a producer on a radio show, and they asked me a question on mic, and I never shut up. Once I realized that I was going to do the sports radio thing and I was finally there, no one at the station had an ACES credential. And I was like, so none of y'all, no one's covering the team. This team that's been super successful. The only thing they haven't done is won the championship. Like nobody, like even if you just want to go watch amazing basketball, like nobody wants to see some hoops. Cool. I'll take this. And my whole perspective is you get in the building and you figure it out from there. So you act like it, fake it till you make it. And just, you've been watching sports your whole life. You know how this goes. Do it proper. Don't be there to take pictures of people, blah, 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 blah. And that's really how it started. But the one thing I do want to ask you is you were and you said it, like people were fortunate enough to share their energy, to talk to you and help you through. But there also is that hustle aspect and the grind aspect. Where did that come from? Who do you give credit to? Is that family? Is that mom? Is that dad? Where does it come from?
Again, it just, the cards fell into play because my mom, super successful woman, who knows how to grind it out. I never had a want for anything growing up. And she was a boss my whole life. She was a boss. So I only knew women in boss positions. I'm born and raised in Raleigh, North Carolina. You have Kay Yao down the street. You have Sylvia Hatchell, the coach at UNC. You had Dawn Staley playing at Charlotte Sting. Like there were so many examples of that. And then my dad is a mass comm professor. So I was engulfed in journalism growing up. Back then he was a producer at a news station. He did hard news. But my aunt, she's in the entertainment industry. It was bred for me, and I only saw strong people. Now for my grind, I think that comes from a bit of a rebellious state where I just want things done the way I want them.
And can you still hear me? Hold on. Can you still hear me? What's going on? I can hear you. All right, you keep going while I fix my technical difficulties. Keep going, love.
As far as the grind, I think it comes from just me wanting to fulfill what my passion is. I want the women's game to continue to grow and go forward. And I know that being present is essential in that growth, being able to relay the messages of the time, essential to that growth. And so my grind comes from lack of equality and equity within the women's game, and knowing that we have so far to go, and knowing that my friends still need their stories told, and knowing that the people who are overlooked constantly are still being overlooked. It comes with, I'll know when to let my foot off the gas when there's equal investment. I know when to let my foot off the gas when it's not so much beating down walls and doors, but it's just people are welcoming women's sports as they are, as equal.
All right, since you can still hear me and you bring that up, I do want to ask you, because, you know, even last season, there was I would get into a lot of arguments with some of our football experts, some of our Raiders guys, because obviously the relationship with Darren Waller and Kelsey Plum. And there were instances where Darren in his football career was getting hurt, but he was going to Aces games, or in preseason games where he wasn't supposed to be playing. He would go to the Aces game and people were flipping out. And I think it was game one of the finals was a Sunday, and Mark Davis went to the Aces game and didn't go to the Raiders game. And football fans were just being ignorant and saying, blah, 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 blah. Why is he going to this, that? And the third, and there was like just a lot of arguments. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? This is for a championship. This is for a pro sports championship. And for someone who's been doing it as long as you, does it ever get exhausting having to, I guess, fight to be able to tell these stories and to give it the platform that it deserves?
Let me be very clear about my fight. My fight is to push the women's game forward and to make the product so widespread amongst the masses that bigger companies and networks will pour into it. My exhaustion does not come from, arguing with people who are committed to ignorance. So I save a lot of energy, because if they don't understand how an athlete can attend a sporting event and still be training, that's confusing to me. If they don't understand why an owner who has invested his money into a team that's about to win a championship, why he would be present, that's confusing to me. So my job is never to meet people where they are when they are committed to that lack of understanding. My job is to turn the ones who are sports fans into WNBA fans, into NWSL fans, into PHF fans, into women's sports fans, but not the ones who are rooted in misogyny. I can overturn a Fairweather fan, but I'm not going to put all my energy in overturning somebody who hates women in the space.
And it's something that I was told recently, that you don't have to get into every fight that you see on Twitter.
You definitely don't, because you know, you get paid to talk about sports. You get paid to really advocate for this, and not even advocacy. You get paid to provide exposure to the women's game. So why would you argue with somebody who's not paying you?
My friends, that is called bars. we back on the camera. And our last question before we get into the W, and I kind of want to specifically talk to Black women right now, because you were setting a path. Getting into sports is hard for everyone and anyone, let alone a woman, let alone a Black woman. So for those watching that see you as the trailblazer you are, that are inspired by you, that want to be in the same space and do some of the same things or similar things as you, what's that piece of advice you would give for those watching and listening?
Have faith in your passion. Have faith. If it's placed on you, you can execute it. And any journalist out here, this is not exclusive to women or Black women, any journalist out there, marry yourself to your passion, not the platform or the network, especially in the way media is right now. They're growing a little bit towards the creator. They're skewing to the creator. So if you can build it for somebody else, you can definitely build it for yourself. So don't ever underestimate the power of your personal brand either.
Damn right. Ari Chambers joining us. Odyssey Sports. Be sure to follow her on Twitter too. Ari Ivory, A-R-I-I-V-O-R-Y. Let's get into some W as the season's going to kick off here this weekend. Okay. So heading into the 2023 season, and off top season 2 coming as well.
Twitter spaces too. We out here.
Yeah. Where are you at with the W? Are you happy with the place the league is in heading into this season?
I have a very inherently optimistic view of women's sports and the WNBA in particular. I think that the front office is doing what it needs to do to play the long game. Do I wish some things were faster? Yes. But am I in a place where I'm a business expert? Absolutely not. I love the ION deal. I love the fact that we're having more network streaming. I love that their commitment to the league is pushing the game forward because of their monetary exchange in that. And so it's going to put the pressure on the new network deals. that are coming up in the near future. I'm excited about future announcements for expansion because it's here and it's becoming so necessary that there are no scapegoats anymore. We see that there's the talent there. We see that there's the interest there, and knowing the interest out there, I am a firm believer that we're going to figure out very soon who are going to be the expansion teams. On the record, I want to bring back the Charlotte Sting. That's like my goal, to be a part owner of the Charlotte Sting. That's like what I want to do.
Speaking into existence, you good?
Yeah, it's on record. I've been tweeting about it for years. I want to be one of the owners of the Charlotte Sting. But I'm looking forward to continued success with the league. It's not an anomaly. It's not a one thing that's one and done. When it comes to the growth, we've seen it grow tremendously from 2020 year over year. Each year, it's like a new record. And we have personalities coming into the league, and personalities find themselves within the league that have such star quality. And that's something to look forward to. That's something that it appeals to a younger audience. It appeals to the middle-aged audience. It appeals to the older audience. People are falling in love with the personalities of these players because they're understanding more. And then the game is great. The game has escalated so much year over year. And you see the skill set develop. That's because it's a direct correlation. People don't realize it. It's a direct correlation with the WNBA's existence has surpassed the birth year of the rookies. So like these past few classes and the future classes have never had a situation where they didn't have a WNBA. They've only known that. So you can know at a younger age and prepare your skill set accordingly to play pro. So you're seeing the game advance in those ways because you don't have to, like, you got to think the year of the inception, these are women who have only played overseas. That's where their pro career is. And they're coming in there and they're like late 30s and early 40s and they're playing the game. But now you have a breadth of people from how old is Sika? 19 to who's older, like 38, 39.
Yeah.
Just such a cross-generational reference of like, hey, the game can look like so different in so many ways, but it's pushing the game forward.
And I think you bring up a great point too, because it's like, hello, baseball's 130, 40 years old. Like, this is still, the WNBA as a league is still so young. And I know that you're everywhere and anywhere, but home base and where you started is New York. And of course the Liberty. And actually I did find this out. So the Aces are going to be playing the Liberty in the preseason game on Saturday. We're recording this on Thursday. You're hearing this on a Monday. It's confusing, but preseason games already happened. But I did find out when I visited the headquarters that they had scheduled this before all the transactions were made. They're also going to be playing the first scrimmage at the Aces' new headquarters. So they're going to get very acclimated with each other before the season starts. You were out at Barclays talking to the fans as everything was happening. They seemed very excited, but as we are days away from the season, how's Liberty Nation feeling?
I know that we're encouraged. You see, shockingly, I don't pay attention to the men, but look at the Knicks. The Knicks themselves are doing better than when I cheered for them. But as far as the Liberty, it's a sense of pride. You have such star quality. You have those marquee players. You have an arena that has a bought-in system and ownership that has bought into it. And that's what's so unique about the Liberty and the Aces. They have ownership that really, really believes in women's equity, women's equality, and the quality of the game that's on the court. So this weekend's going to be interesting. Again, this is before we're recording before it happens, but Liberty aren't necessarily at full strength. Jonquil is out right now, but I am so looking forward to the in-season moments, the when they're all healthy and they can really battle. I love an East-West rivalry. Now, I'm not going to say that. I love an East-West rivalry, and I just can't wait to see like Vegas and New York battle it out continuously.
Are you for the, like, so they're calling it the super team era, but for me, I'm kind of like you. I love the fact that it is a major city on the West Coast versus a major city on the East Coast. But I'm also here in Las Vegas and I cover the Aces, so I may be a little biased. Are you for this super team era? Is that good for the league?
Yeah, I think it's great for the league because no matter how you feel about it, whether you love it or you hate, you're talking about it. People are talking about the super teams. People are talking about, oh my God, that's stacked. And if they're watching the game, so say you're only watching because the Aces are stacked with people, right? You're watching their opponents too. So maybe you see them playing Atlanta and you see Ryan Howard ball out. You see Alicia Gray ball out because now Alicia has the space to do that. Like, you can fall in love with other programs or other organizations because you're paying attention to these super teams. Super teams, what it does is get the eyes on the game. It gets the eyes on the game so you can start there. That's an origin point. Then you can grow and you can extend your love beyond that. You can extend your love to like an Indiana Fever that has like the upcoming superstars, that has Aaliyah Boston, that has way more space and opportunity because she won't be quadruple team because this is the pros. This is not college. And so just to see how her game translates, you have all these things that add up in order to push the game forward. And that's what the whole point is. But what you were saying before you even asked the question, am I more of the East-West rivalry? Yes. I hate that we've thrown out that East versus West thing. I hate that it's top eight instead of like best in the East versus best in the West. I hate it. So I'm so glad that we have that, you know, Commissioner's Cup is a great way to do the East-West thing. And I live for that because I think that's necessary. I go up for the East Coast. I'm a North Carolina girl that's been living in New York for 10 years that has actively refused to move to LA. And so because all my work is in LA, all my work is on the West Coast for some reason, actively avoiding it because I'm an East Coast girl. And I love to go up for East Coast things. Now, my allegiance, that's a little, you know, we don't need to get into that. But like, I love East West.
There it is. Before we get you out of here, just what can we expect from you this season upcoming for the upcoming WNBA season? Of course, off top season two. But what are the plans? Anything you got cooking up?
Yeah, the foot is on the gas. So we're going to continue to push the game forward. I want more stuff on Ari Ivory with the, you know, player interactions. I'm so excited to have my Twitter spaces. We're bringing it back, you know, me and Monica, but we're adding Lo. And Lo's my girl. She helped found the committee. And I think that their sports group is so necessary in the space because they have that grassroots energy that has been missing for a while. It reminds me of
she's
like,
coming on the show on Wednesday. Let's go.
I live for her. I think she's next up. She's got now. And me, her, and Monica together are absolutely outlandish. And it's a mix of different expertise. And so blending that all together, I do believe we're going to be airing every Monday on Twitter for our Twitter spaces. But just that banter, that discussion, because Lo has that bias. And then Monica comes from an analyst standpoint. I come from like an energy and personality standpoint. So it's going to be really fun. And then off top, I love off top because it talks to the players that don't normally get the coverage that they would otherwise have. And so, you know, I'm going to the Aces on Monday, actually, when this airs, and talking to a few of your faves that you might not know are your faves yet. And so that's what the purpose of Off Top is. And so you can continue to expect from me, like the not so obvious stories, the real raw talks and hopefully more basketball knowledge, but mainly player personality knowledge.
There it is. Well, first off, enjoy the headquarters because it is beautiful. It is gorgeous. Ari, thank you for everything you do. Thank you for always having a second for me whenever I need it. And we appreciate your coverage as we try to ramp up our Aces coverage over here in Vegas.
Keep it going. And I love your energy. So you're going to be great. You're already great. So I can't wait.